You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is the 11th of November 2016 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Well, this is Friday, it's the end of Victory Week. We've had Victory Day and it's Victory Week now, and we're going to go on into a great big long Victory Weekend of celebration, because the God Emperor has finally won the competition and kicked Hillary Clinton in the teeth. And to join me tonight with the celebration that we've been celebrating all week is, of course, Mr. Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's always nice to see communist bitching walking up and down streets of America, whinging that they didn't get their way.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Seeing all the liberal tears, the looks on the faces of the Clinton supporters. And now they're all throwing their toys out of the pram, these cry bullies that are just rioting all the way across America.
I wish I had to do a win Florida. Come on.
Yeah. Well, it was quite amazing that he did win Florida, really, when you think of how diversified the place has become. I mean, it's full of non-whites there. I think he did incredibly well to win in those swing states. And that had to have been through hard work. That's all it could have been through, all that campaigning he did.
Well, I think, like, the little Cubans down there who escaped communism, you know, they certainly didn't want to end up in another communist country. And they could see it going that way. I mean, Obama was obviously heading us down that direction with, the gender thing, the transgender thing, the Common Core. You name it, and it had communism written all over it. You know, banning of God, and you know.
So there could have been. I think there was actually more non-whites and more blacks actually voting for Donald Trump than they expected. I know a lot less turned out to vote for Clinton than they thought.
Yeah, certainly.
You know, they were thinking that the blacks and the non-whites would vote Democrat because they did last time. But the only reason they did it last time is because it was
Obama.
A black president.
Yeah. He didn't do them any favours. No, I mean, even Trump said at one point, like, that the inner cities, the Democrats have never done anything to help the blacks in the inner cities. And that, indeed, a black were talking, Negro were talking about it, saying why he voted Trump. And he said that the poor black Americans had much in common with the white poor. You know, everybody wanted a better, you know, better life. And so they looked to Trump as the one to bring it.
Well, it does look, these protesters, a lot of them do look like the more privileged, shall we say, young white people that are able to afford to go to university. They look like, you know, the ones that were born with a silver spoon in their mouths, don't they?
And clueless about politics.
Totally clueless. What do they think they're doing, you know, walking up down the street, smashing things, setting fire to things, rioting? I mean, it's the best thing that could possibly happen for us, because it just drives people more towards us. It causes Donald Trump to dig his heels in all the more on his policies. And it also shows the media in a terrible light, because they still seem to be promoting this. I mean, sooner or later, the media is going to have to stop promoting the opposition, and they're going to have to start promoting, you know, the new direction that America is taking. I noticed...
I think the same people over here, the same young people, were against coming out of the EU. And of course, since then, they've tried some marches and they've tried some campaigns. And finally, somebody's gone to court and, tried to put the block on, saying that there's only Parliament and not a referendum that could decide whether we're going to Europe. And everybody knows that most of the MPs in Parliament were against coming out of the EU. So, there's a bit of work to be done there, I think.
Well, that's the point, Dennis. Over here we had Brexit. That was a momentous decision, but it didn't actually put anyone in charge that was any different.
We had our say.
We won the referendum, but we haven't actually got anyone in power to enforce that. In fact, we've got Theresa May, who really didn't say very much. But the difference is, over in America, is that their president-elect, is the one who is saying all these things and who has got all these policies. Just today, there was There's a story on the Daily Stormer about a middle school, and they were chanting, "Build the wall, build the wall." And the media reported it as how terrible they were bullying these other kids by saying, "Build the wall." And, you know, this could be a hate crime and it must be investigated. How can that be a hate crime? How can that be anything that needs to be investigated when it's a presidential slogan? That's what I mean by the difference.
Trump's your champion against political correctness. Even, you know, most whites hate this political correctness, and he is one of the, you know, the older guys used to being able to say quite freely things, you know, without being prosecuted or persecuted or whatever. So I think political correctness is in for a battering, hopefully, anyway. I mean, you know, I had a son charged with racism once just for calling an aggressive person from Pakistan a Paki.
Well, that's what they call themselves, isn't it? I mean, there's a magazine in Pakistan. The biggest magazine in Pakistan is called Paki.
Yeah, I mean, they call each other Pakis.
It's ridiculous, you know. Once you really look into these things with these words that we're not allowed to use, you realise that, you know, it's just our own words that we use to describe things. We've been banned from using them. And they can use them as much as they like.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you look at comedians these days, when you just go back a number of years, like when you got people like Bernard Manning and people like that, who obviously the Jews took a dislike to, Esther Anton particularly. But I mean, today comedians, like, you know, I can watch them on TV and I can't raise a smile. I just can't see what they're saying is, you know, funny at all. Whereas I put a Bernard Manning video on YouTube and I can't stop laughing.
Well, I think that, you know, I think our sense of humour is there to, you know, to help protect our culture, because we do see other people, we do laugh at them. I mean, even in Britain, we tell jokes about Irishmen, Englishmen, and a Scotsman. You know, it's a natural thing to do. And if you do tell jokes...
It's not hatred, is it?
No. If you do tell jokes about other races, they're funny. That's what brings a smile to people's faces. I think that's been a large part of the success of the alt-right, has been this racist humour. People haven't seen it before. They have people that have been millennials haven't actually seen that before. You know, we had that when we were kids, Dennis. It was, you know,
of course we do. Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, I can't. I mean, all right, we have economic depressions and we have certain, you know, we go through certain hard times, what have you. But I mean, even all this political correctness takes all the fun out of life. And I haven't heard anybody whistle in God knows how many years. You know, I mean, I used to hear winter cleaners whistling down the road or whatever. I mean, builders can't even whistle at women passing by. I mean, just some women I know, some women, you know, if they didn't get whistled at, they were disappointed.
Well, this was such a slap in the face, I think, for the feminists, especially, you know, because they all thought, first woman president, of course, all the women are going to vote for her. And they didn't.
No, they didn't.
You know, that's a big win just in itself. I mean, to think that, Huffington Post was saying that 93% chance of Hillary Clinton winning. You know, they were all so dead certain that Hillary Clinton was going to win that just seeing the looks on their faces now that Donald Trump is actually in there is incredible. It really is.
Yeah, well, I think the things like abortion, which the feminists are diehard on, I think if he's going to champion turning that round, I mean, you know, he certainly is the man in my eyes, because for a race what is under fire and facing extinction, the last thing I want is white babies being murdered before they're even born.
Well, he says what he's going to do is reverse the Roe versus Wade decision, which allowed abortion on demand. And this is what the BBC have been saying. They've been running these 10-minute long bits on the news where they look at his policies and say, right, now Donald Trump is the president-elect. What are his policies? And they've had people calling in asking about these policies. And then they've had people associated with Donald Trump explaining what these policies are. You know, they're being forced to treat this sensibly. You know, and that is one of his policies. You really can't argue with them.
Don't agree with that. I mean, I saw the Michigan rally where there was a tremendous, uplift in the audience because they'd heard of this FBI investigation again only a week before. And there was, you know, it just seemed that momentum had gathered. It really did stick out at me because I wondered, what had happened during the day for this to happen. Because the last time I saw the Trump campaign, it had lost a bit of momentum because of this, the alleged sexual thing from 10 years ago. Plus, the media was all ganging up on him with the TV debates and what have you. And things were just starting to go off track a little bit. And suddenly I saw this rally in Michigan where they had this preacher who was opening up, this black preacher who was saying that, Christianity is still alive in America and all this. And then at one point, Trump even had the crowd reading the Pledge of Allegiance, One Nation Under God, which Obama had instructed schools that children no longer needed to say because the word God was in the Pledge of Allegiance. So, I mean, it's pure communism. And it was so great to see this nationalistic. It was literally coming through the TV. I couldn't. And then I found out later that the emails had been reinvestigated again, and then Clinton was back defending, back on the back foot. So, it couldn't have happened at a better time for me.
That's what really gets me, the sense of patriotism at those rallies. It's just so encouraging and uplifting to see people so proud of their country and all as one and wanting to do the best for their country. And he said early on in the campaign, he said, what are nationalists? Nationalists want to do the best for their nation. Well, I want to do the best for America, so I'm a nationalist. He said that.
Centre ground in my eyes, always has been.
Well, this is it.
The communists have pushed it to an extreme to actually like your own race or to like your own country. That's looked on as, extreme. How crazy does it get,
Well, that's it. People of Donald Trump's age from that generation, that they think that that's just normal and natural for everyone to think that. Most of them that generation don't realise quite how bad that it's actually got. We're very lucky that.
No, I don't think they do. I think you're right there. We spoke about this last week, where with the left, they have this way of just doing everything so slow and so covertly, so quietly, so behind the scenes. Suddenly you wake up and you're in neck up, in a crocodile's mouth, and it's too late to get out.
That's a good analogy there, and I think we've just in the nick of time. We're starting to pull ourselves out of the crocodile's jaws. Brexit, Donald Trump. Next month we've got Norbert Hofer, his election in Austria in February. Well, in January Trump gets sworn in as president, and in February you've got the French election. We could see Marine Le Pen there, and Trump has sworn to get all these policies underway within the first 100 days. And if you look at his plan for what he's going to do for in the first 100 days in office, it's fantastic. They're already starting to self-deport. A lot of the non-whites are. You've also got California, which is saying that it wants to secede, which could be a good thing. I think that might well happen, and you might see all the non-whites and all the Muslims head for California.
I'll move down there, yeah.
Yeah.
There's quite a number of celebrities and all said they'd leave the country as well. Whoopi Goldberg and a few others,
Well, the Canadian immigration website crashed under applications.
Really?
Yeah, that crashed under applications on the same night. He's going to withdraw all the funding for the sanctuary cities, so they're not going to get any federal funding unless they enforce the law.
Very interesting. I mean, especially for people who have guns now, they can relax a little bit now, because obviously Obama and the Democrats were looking to get them guns, where again, Trump has made it obvious that, he feels that it's the right of the Second Amendment of every American, and rightly so.
Well, I think he's going to stand up for the Constitution and how the Constitution was originally intended. He's going to change the judges as well, so that they enforce
the Constitution. That's a big thing, because them judges, I know from listening to E. Michael Jones talking, a state like Indiana, who voted against this, the gender toilets, where, a man can go into a woman's toilets now legally because he says he's not really a man, which caused a lot of controversy. And in Indiana, the state of Indiana, they voted against it. What happened was overturned by these supreme judges. So obviously, he will know the judges that he wants, and he'll get rid of these communist clowns, which can only be good.
Well, he's also said that it should be up to a state whether they want to allow gay marriage or not. So that would kind of the same thing, isn't it? I mean, the BBC have been saying
it was, yeah, but it wasn't democracy
that.
Anymore when it had been overruled.
Yeah, BBC have said he's going to reverse the gay marriage ruling as well. And one of the things
that's wonderful.
It is. Yeah. It's all just, you know, it almost sounds
it's
like
too
it's too
good to be
good
true.
Yeah. You know, this is what makes you, you know, sort of suspicious about it. But the way that it's happened,
you do see him crying in the streets.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you've got so many people over there that are so anti him. We're seeing all this footage of people setting fire to things and smashing things. But then we're also seeing the footage of people that are absolutely jubilant, you know, absolutely jubilant in victory. Yeah, yeah. That you just think this is, you know, the best thing that could ever happen to America. It's not, it really isn't something that I expected to see. I thought things were going to, you know, just keep getting worse. I didn't think that we were going to get a reprieve like this, and I didn't realize, you know, that it could happen in such a way like this, with all these riots afterwards, which is just, you know, it's just basically saying that we are right and all decent people should move to our side.
Well, I mean most people looked at Trump, I'm talking about these people who are rioting, they looked at Trump and didn't think he was fit to be president, because he doesn't uphold these views of this this left-wing thing about gender and all this kind of carry on. Whereas what they're not thinking is that, you know, plainly Clinton was coming out openly saying that she wanted a fly zone over Syria. Now, to me, you know, it doesn't take much of a genius to work out that if she starts pushing for a fly zone over Syria, then, you know, you're going to get a backlash from Putin, because Putin's not going to sit there and let American planes, which would have happened, bomb the airfields of Syria and the planes of Syria, shoot them down. Just what happened in Libya, he's just not going to allow it. And that would have been, you know, you're staring at World War III.
Oh, we've narrowly averted World War III there. And just a sort of question, this is something that I've been thinking, looking at these riots, and I've been thinking, would this have been the same if we'd have lost and Clinton had won? Would our people have been going out smashing things and burning things, or would there have been an orderly protest? You know, what are your thoughts on that, Dennis?
Well, I think it depends just how controversial the victory would have been. I think if it looked like an obvious steal, then I think there would have been some eruptions. But I think in the case of him, if he was beaten, as everybody predicted on the day, said that he was going to be beaten, and she, like I said, only had to win Florida, then it would, I think it would have been more of a depressed, shall we say, right wing, more than, an angry, like they were, left wing.
I think we might have seen a military coup, or we would have seen lots and lots of people out in the streets, but I'm not sure that there would have just been mindless violence, you know, smashing windows and setting fire to things. I think that's, you know, that's like lashing out in anger. I think our people would have been...
Yeah, well, I mean, I do tend to agree, but then again, I think, I just imagine for a couple of seconds Clinton being president. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, that could drive you to
to
extremes.
Yeah, put people over the edge.
Yeah, it could drive you to extremes. Well, I know, Dennis, that you've been looking at this, and obviously it's a little bit upsetting or distressing a bit to see that Benjamin Netanyahu has come out and said that you know, he supports Donald Trump. And I know you've got some ideas about why this might be. Do you want to talk about
that? Well, it's a theory. Yeah, it's a theory, because in Communism by the Backdoor, I did an episode of on Israel. And the policies. And at one point, there was a split in American Jewry. You had J Street, which is a big Jewish lobbyist, and AIPAC, which is a more famous one. And they had a split. And even in the Congress, there were some Democrats who didn't turn up for certain meetings over Israel. And the fact was that there was a split between doing a deal with Iran over this nuclear deal, which, according to E. Michael Jones, then would free certain elements to go after Putin, because Putin had put his foot down in Syria, was causing mayhem for Obama, for instance, because the New World Order suddenly got stopped. So they did do that deal. So you know, I think it's J Street who stood for this. You know, they must have got the upper hand over AIPAC, and they did the deal with Iran, which Netanyahu was furious over. I mean, you know, we saw him when Obama, there was no love lost at all between them. And so when I look back at that, I'm looking at the campaign where on Obama's side, obviously Clinton being a Democratic, she was forever going on about Putin and saying just how evil he was. And on the other side of the election, Trump was always going on saying how Putin was all right. But the Iran deal was terrible. So a theory of mine is that if at all people think or suspect that he is controlled, maybe he's the leader of this other side, which likes Putin, doesn't want world wars, but doesn't like Iran, and vice versa with Clinton. There could have been a split, just like there was over this a few months back. That's just my theory, though. I mean, I've nothing to actually back it up with, only the fact that Netanyahu is over the moon that, you know, Trump's won.
Well, maybe his advisors have suggested that to him. From what I can read from it, America lost out in a big way financially through doing this deal with Iran. And I think part of that might be that all the Iranian oil that is now allowed back onto the world market again. But in some way, America lost out big time financially, which I think, you know, was the reason why he was saying it. And also, he may have been dog whistling to Israel as well, because he knows that he's upset a lot of the Jews with a lot of his policies. Because obviously, there's a lot more than a few Jews involved in media, more than a few Jews involved in banking, both of which he was speaking against, and these trade agreements. So maybe he was dog whistling to Netanyahu and Israel when he was talking about that. I think, you know, you're right there. There is a split between, you know, there's always been a split between two different types of Jews. There's been the Zionist Jews and the communist Jews is what it was.
That's right.
Originally.
That's right. Yeah.
So now you've got the AIPAC Jews and you've got this J Street. And now that he's in power, obviously it's going to be in Netanyahu's best interests to say that he supports him. This is the other thing. This is the big thing about this, is that you're now going to see more and more politicians in other countries around the world that want to get in his good books, because America is the most powerful superpower on the planet. So, of course, countries are going to want to be in Donald Trump's good books. They're not going to want to upset him. And one of the main countries that appear to have upset him is Germany, with flooding the country with all these savages. I mean, you just look at the face on Merkel when he got elected. I mean, that was priceless. And then she's congratulating him on becoming president. And then at the same time, she's making all these conditions. And yet Germany is an occupied power, isn't it? Occupied
by
America.
Well, he's questioned their actions in the past. What the hell's going on with, you know, 10 million Muslims into a country unchecked? I mean, he's got every right to say that. We know the reason, and he probably knows the reason by now as well. I mean, just recently we were talking earlier about the Sweden ban of Christmas lights, because if there is this Islamization of Europe taking place, even in Britain, there's the same thing is taking place when Cameron being caught off camera, being talking about he wants more Muslims in positions of power. And I mean, it says here towns across Sweden have banned Christmas street lights in the name of security, but the real reason is almost certainly because the country's completely capitulated to Islam after importing countless Muslim migrants over the last 2 years. According to a TV report, the Swedish Transport Administration will not allow municipalities to erect Christmas streetlights on light poles that the authority manages, meaning that many towns will now no longer have festival lights on all the major streets. I mean, as you mentioned also a little bit earlier when we were just briefly discussing it, this has been one of the great northern cultures of Christmas lights.
Yeah, they like to have these nativity scenes outside the houses. You know, they really get into the Christmas side of it and showing scenes from that everywhere you go. You know, in the north of Europe, you see that round about Christmas time. That's a big tradition that they're now going to try and remove. But the thing is, before, nobody would have said anything about that. But I bet if Donald Trump hears about that, he would say, well, you know, what are you doing? I think he has mentioned Christmas, and the way that, and all the attacks on it during his campaigning. Have you heard that?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the only politician that I've heard mention Christianity. I've never heard the word from Obama for years. I mean, the fact that Germany even You know, the gangs now, what are forming these Muslim gangs, mafia type gangs, if you like, are telling restaurants over there not to cook pork. If you do, we're going to attack your family, kill your family, and burn your restaurant down. Now, half the restaurants in Germany have closed down because they're not allowed to serve pork.
Well, he knows all about the no-go zones that we've got in Europe. He spoke about that. He spoke and mentioned it about it in France. And look at what's being done to Germany and France. And we don't want that in America. One of the things that I was wanted to ask you about, Dennis, was with Germany being occupied by America, just how much control does America have over Germany with the laws? Because I know you were saying you said before in other episodes that there was 100 years or something they had to obey American law.
Yeah, well, I could take him back to the time when Merkel's phone was tapped. You know, there's a lot of tapping by the NSA in Germany of German citizens, and Merkel found out to her annoyance that her phone had been tapped as well. And there's some report in the paper saying that, you know, she met with the American ambassador and she was proclaiming after that she told him how annoyed she was, when in actual fact, you know, Germany is an occupied country, ruled by the Allies. Obviously, you know, America is the strongest of them, and you know they've got all the soldiers over there. They've got all the army camps over there. And what more than likely happened in that meeting was, as soon as he walked into the room, he told Merkel to shut up, sit down, and get on with whatever you were doing, because she's just a puppet. That's all she is.
Well, I think now if she's a puppet, and the puppet master is now Donald Trump.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any love lost between them. Certainly, as you said, if Merkel's going to start laying conditions down to the President of the United States, that's going to be an interesting meeting.
Well, it's just brilliant. I can't stop laughing when I think about it. It's just been a wonderful thing to see. Well, maybe we'll return to this subject a little bit later on then, but you were telling me just before we went on air that you finished doing another part, or the credits to Communism by the Back Door. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to do a bonus part at one point, but for various reasons. I mean, I have had some illness as well, and the train had stopped, so to speak. That was probably one of my biggest mistakes. And so it's hard to get it going again. It took quite a while to do the bonus part, really. So I'm just coming off 5 years now of research and making two documentaries, both over six hours long. And it finally hit me just how much time and, you know, work that went into it. And so all of a sudden, like, you know, the train stops and it won't move again. And rather than do an episode inferior to the rest, I made the decision, you know, not to do that, but to put up the sources of the documentary, but also some information as well, which we found research in the documentary, and that's gone out now. 22, it's uploaded onto YouTube, and will be added to the, hopefully, to the DVD in time for Christmas.
Well, you say about all the time and the work that's gone into that 5 years worth of work. I mean, it's a lot of, it's all paid off now, hasn't it? With Donald Trump getting in there and this awakening.
I messaged the other day, like, someone thanked me from America, saying the part I played in waking up the nation, you know, so that you could actually vote in somebody like Trump. So if that's the case, then I'm more than happy.
Well, I think the alt-right has played a massive role in this, especially with exaggerating things about Donald Trump, which has caused the left to get really wild and angry and start accusing anyone white of being a neo-Nazi Ku Klux Klan supporter if they support Donald Trump, which of course really annoys the average white person who isn't a member of the Ku Klux Klan and doesn't like being called a racist and thinks, just what the hell is going on? You know, I'm just a normal person. I'm not a member of any of these neo-Nazi groups. And yet they get accused of that by the left. So normal people, just normal white people that aren't involved in any of these politics have been treated in the same way that we get treated. This is the thing. And I think that's woken a lot of people up to these new hate crime laws and political correctness and just how dangerous it is. And again, that's down to the alt-right with all the memes that we've put out and all the exaggeration and the bigging up of Donald Trump and concentrating on, you know, those policies of his that are closest to our ideals. And I think he himself must have seen the response that got, you know, that huge response online, which has encouraged him to, you know, to speak out and keep on that path. And that's brought more people to his movement. And I think also these riots that we're seeing now, that's going to cause him to dig his heels in all the more. You know, we haven't seen him apologize and step roll back on anything that he said. He's always kept by what he said. And the more the left go against him, the more I think he's going to dig his heels in it and refuse to change what he's doing. I noticed today with the tweets from these riots, the first one was, you know, this has been brought on by the media. The media caused this. And then later on in the day, he sent out another tweet, which I thought was very clever, saying that he admired their passion. So he's almost trolling them. You know, he's saying, hey, that's really good. I like what you're doing there. You've got real passion there. Now, that's going to inflame them all the more because they're going to be thinking, we don't want you to be liking us. We don't want you to be admiring us or anything. Yeah, do you know what I mean? And at the same time, to other people, it looks like, well, he's trying to peacemake there. He's trying to find something positive in what they're doing. Yeah, you know, he's a very clever man, I think. And I think the left have really, really underestimated him. I think we're going to see some fantastic things next year.
Well, I mean, they underestimated him at the peril, because if you look how he was, when he first started out and he announced he was going to run, he was classed as, by the press and Obama and a few others, as a joke. He then destroyed all the main runners of the Republican Party. I mean, the Bushes aren't without, you know, the odd million or two, and I'm quite sure he put everything into that campaign to get Jeb Bush elected. But he destroyed Jeb Bush, he destroyed Cruz, he destroyed all the other front runners, even at the expense of some actually going against him and saying that, you know, that they wouldn't support him. But eventually the Republican Party caved into him and took him on as leader. And even after the sexual claims, and I back to this being 10 years ago in the locker room, and every woman, I don't care, every woman knows how men talk in these situations. And I think that's one of the reasons why women didn't go against him, or as many women as what the Democrats thought would. So you know, he destroyed all these front runners of the Republican Party, got the Republican Party to endorse him, and then set about Hillary Clinton. And no doubt Clinton has 30 years experience of being a politician, but was never more, even in a biased press opinion, was never more than a few points in front of a non-politician. By rights, on paper, Trump should have been destroyed by this qualified former First Lady, Secretary of State, and a politician for 30 years. But he never was, and he faced up to her. I think he lost the first debate, but I think the second and third debate, he actually won, although, again, the press played it down. And so, like I said, eventually when I saw that Michigan rally, that to me told me a lot. I could see momentum gaining, and it took him over the line.
I think there's been a large element of telling Hillary Clinton what she wants to hear. You know, if you get very powerful, you surround yourself, this can often happen. You end up surrounded by yes men that don't actually tell you the truth. They just say yes to everything that you say. They just tell you what you want to hear. And I think there's been a large element of that in this. I think she's had these newspapers all telling her what she wanted to hear, all telling her that these polls were saying that she's going to win, telling her how great she was, feeding her all the answers to the questions, giving her all the best media stories. You know, 90% of the stories about Donald Trump were negative. All these ones about Hillary Clinton were positive. So she was just totally distanced from reality, from reality.
Well, I'll tell you something, Sven. I've got to be honest. One of the best feelings I got was, because I followed the campaign, obviously. I used to tune in on Sky News. I used to tune in on several other channels. And I used to see the bias, and I used to see how people would say his name with disgust. I mean, Michelle Obama wouldn't even speak his name. You know, but these people in the press were so biased towards Clinton, and even when Clinton was collapsing all over the place, you didn't hear much about it, especially on Sky. So on the night when you know, I mean, I tuned in about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that, and Trump was around about 2:40, and she was back on 2:18, which is, as I knew that she only needed to win Florida, that was me. I was, kettle went on, and that was me. I sat down, and there was utter depression in these studios. I mean, they're just shell-shocked that, I mean, Trump was just in spitting distance of her crossing the line, and it was absolutely incredible to watch.
Priceless.
Loved every minute.
Priceless, wasn't it? I mean, I just thought, I watched it in the morning. I watched it up till about 1 o'clock, and then I went to bed. And then as soon as I switched it on in the morning, I saw that he'd won. I've been saying the whole time that I thought that he was going to win. I mean, a year back, I said, you know, he's got a good chance of winning, and I think he might well win. And all the way along, I thought that he's had a good chance. And what I really should have done is placed a bet on it. I really should have placed a bet on it.
You did, with me, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I might well have done with you for another fiver. That's the second fiver. Yeah, one on the Brexit as well. There was a lot of people that said, well, there's no way that he can win. You know, there's the establishment will ensure that Hillary Clinton wins because it's her turn. And I think, you know, a lot of us have been surprised. You know, we should be careful not to get too jaded, you know, not too cynical, believe that things aren't possible, because every so often, you know, amazing things do happen. You know, we do get a blessing. Yeah, you know, God does hear our prayers. You know, here is an instance of it. I mean, nobody could have predicted this. He didn't come along to one of our demonstrations and get convinced by us. You know, he thought of it for himself and his convictions.
Yeah, what was annoying to me was they never showed the true numbers at his rallies. I mean, he did have a groundswell of support, and he was talking about this support early on in his campaign, where he says, "I've never been anything like it," where literally thousands would turn up wherever he spoke. Once you get that kind of momentum and people behind you, people who were absolutely fed up with this political correctness and where the country was going and how the jobs were going. I mean, I went to Las Vegas about 4 or 5 years ago now, and I came back and I was explaining to people that it was just like England. I was sat in a taxi outside one of the main hotels in Las Vegas, and the taxi driver was whinging about how much the cost of petrol was, and it was just like being in a cab in Manchester. There was no difference, and the cars were getting smaller, and you know, the place was getting more depressing, and it was just a feel that, you know, that America was going just the way that England had gone after Thatcher had finished with the decimating the coal mines and the rest of the industry. And even in this election campaign in America, she was hated by the coal miners, was Clinton, because she was proclaiming that she was going to close down the mines. So, you know, it was a carbon copy. So I'm so glad that they managed to, I just say, just pull back from the brink, and the white race itself in America has rallied under Trump. He's pulled it all together and done just an incredible job, which could never have been predicted.
Hey, he's become a focal point for that, hasn't he? Like a rallying point for this movement of all different types of people, but the majority of them are white. You know, you've got people on the right and you've got people on the left that have come out in support for him. I think this has caught the establishment by surprise as well, because it's sort of shattered that left-right paradigm. You know, he's got these social ideas of these big infrastructure projects and getting everybody back to work. He doesn't want the free trade. He doesn't want all the immigration. He wants to, you know, send the illegal immigrants back. So you've got like a mix of right and left. Basically, what you've got is his nationalist policies. Even though he is a civic nationalist, and the main ethnicity represented by him is white, because it's white interests that need looking after. And
that concerned me, because when I looked at the white race as a whole, I felt as, you know, only, you know, maybe between 10% and 20% were aware of how we face extinction. A lot, I felt, didn't care, you know, and another lot just didn't know, where they, you know, they weren't They didn't have the time to go on the internet. You know, they were too busy working, etc. We didn't realize what were going on in Sweden and going on in Germany and how things were being changed. And so, you know, for Trump to come along and galvanize that white, you know, mainstream, if you like, voter, was great. I mean, to me now, the country needs educating. I was asked this last night. I honestly feel that what Hitler did in Germany, he educated his people, and they knew exactly why they were going to war. They knew exactly why, you know, it was useless to surrender, because we had Goebbels talking about you know, the low birth rate. We had Hitler giving the money to the families to increase, you know, people having more children, because they knew it was under threat way back then. And since then, you know, you've had the war, Second World War, took 60-odd million Christians out, and you've had Christianity under attack ever since the end of World War II, because communism won. And when you look even in places in the Middle East now, Christians are being killed daily. We're still under this attack. South Africa is another place where Christians have suffered. And people just weren't aware. I honestly feel that America need, I mean, it won't happen in this country because, you know, we've still got, you know, clowns in charge. But in America, if they can educate just what's happening, I'm sure people will then rally even more.
Well, he's going to get rid of Common Core, but it's implicit in his policies, isn't it? Reversing Roe versus Wade, which means stopping abortion on demand. That means more white babies being born. He wants to give newborn mothers 5 weeks paid holiday, which is a totally new thing in America, to give them that. So he's already putting in this encouragement to produce more. And this demographic displacement that we've got going on, I mean, the BBC were telling us this on the actual election night. They had this three-dimensional graph, and the presenter was telling us with glee, you know, just how much the vote had been swayed by non-whites that weren't there originally. Just in the last 10 years, he was saying this was the Latrino vote last time, and now, 10 years later, it's gone up by 30% because there's 30% more Latrinos in the country. And and then he was going, in 10 years' time, this vote would never have been able to happen. They wouldn't have been able to do this because the demographics would have changed so much. You know, and surely, I mean, anyone watching that should have been in a state of shock, not in a state of glee, just calmly saying, well, in 10 years' time, you know, they would have doubled again, and that would have affected the vote so much that white people would have no say whatsoever in it. You know, that's how bad it's got, isn't it?
It's bad, yeah. And these are white people who are saying it.
Yeah, I think it's 60% white, America. Is that right? Do you know the figures?
I'm not sure of the total figures, but I'm pretty confident. I don't think you're far off. But a lot of them whites you saw marching in the streets against Trump. You know, it's the young kids in college who were, you know, scared of, we were talking about this months ago about when somebody scrawled Trump's name on the steps and they were claiming that some girls were even crying in fear.
Totally. No, totally, you know, just coddled, mollycoddled is the word, isn't it, from the rest of the world. And they're totally brainwashed. That's the ones that have been the most brainwashed, if you think about it. You know, they've had 10 years of constant cultural Marxism forced down their throats, constant diversity.
Well, it's this guilt thing again, you see. I mean, they did it with Germany, obviously with the war, but what they do with the white people is they bring out these films in Hollywood about slavery and things like that, and then they push how evil the white race has been in the past, and so consequently you get these young kids who were, you know, fall for all this garbage, walking around with guilt complex, just like the Germans.
Social engineering, isn't it? You know,
that's what it is. Yeah, social engineering. It's psychology, and you know, it's very strong and powerful. They know what they're doing. They've been doing it for quite a while.
The governments get together with the media. You know, it's all carefully
Hollywood,
planned out.
Yeah.
You know, you've got this nudge committee or the nudge something or other group in Britain that decides what they want to do with the social engineering, and they communicate with, I think it's called the Knitting Circle, which is all the producers and directors of all the soap operas. So if, say, you know, the nudge group say, well, we want to make homosexuality or gay marriage more acceptable, They then communicate with the Knitting Circle, who then put in these pro-gay marriage storylines in all the soap operas.
I've said this a lot of times. There's not a programme been good enough to last 50 years on TV, and yet Coronation Street is still there. And that's the reason why, because they connect with millions of people in the country, and they kind of, like you say, social engineering. I mean, it's a gay festival now on Coronation Street. I won't go near the thing.
Right, it's the same with EastEnders, all the major soap operas. But do you think that that mechanism there for moulding the minds of the young and affecting, you know, the way that they interact with one another, you think how powerful that could be if it's in positive hands? Now, they've obviously got the same thing over there in America. You got Donald Trump in charge. I mean, the social engineering that could be going out is make America great again. You know, how you can work for your country, how you can be patriotic, which is what they did in Germany, was teach the young how to be patriotic and to have pride in their nation and to believe
exactly.
in their nation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more pleasing to see somebody young actually feeling good about their own country. And consequently, for many, many years, especially in this country, you've got too many young kids like who are just don't see the goodness of this, of being a national and just fall for the Marxist propaganda. And it's got to a point, I think Hitler, I mentioned it in the promo of Communism by the Back Door, where he says what Marxism does, it turns brother against brother, and yet they will accept an African or a Zulu as a brother instead. And that's exactly what it does. It just turns you away from your own people.
Well, they need to be telling them to be proud of their ancestors, telling them of their ancestors' accomplishments, you know, the great things that they've done, great things that Americans have done, great things that British people have done. Instead of that, in British history, they tell them that Negroes came over here and built Hadrian's Wall. You know, that we had Negro kings and that we oppressed them and turn them into slaves. Don't tell us that we freed the African slaves or that the Muslims took 1 million white slaves in the space of a century back in the 1800s, around that time. They don't tell them that, you know, that sort of truthful thing. But we could start to see that now. You know,
I hope so, President Trump's education is key to it, because once people are aware and awake and free from this Hollywood type psychop, then, you know, things start moving again, you know, and you can see the enemy. But for a long, long time, we couldn't see the enemy. Didn't know who the enemy was.
Well, this is just it. I mean, he hasn't actually named the Jew as the enemy, but he's pointed out all these, all the tools, all the weapons that the Jew uses against us. And he's named some of the people behind it. It's just that he hasn't identified the group interests behind it. He hasn't identified the group that they all belong to, all the architects of these weapons against us. He hasn't actually named them. He's just pointed out the weapons. That's what they don't like. You know, that's what they're terrified of. I mean, that last advert that he put out, and it named three of the arch enemies of globalism, and they all just happened to be Jewish. So, of course, they were screeching about anti-Semitism.
Well, we noticed when Clinton, in the campaign in the final week, how all the entertainment people came out, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Bon Jovi. And there's a bit of a rant from Robert De Niro as well on YouTube, calling him a dog, and how people could ever want to vote for such a person. You know, Hollywood itself infested with Freemasonry and Jewry, homosexuals and Satanists. First thing I would have done is I would have sent the Marines in there and arrested a lot of them, but I suppose you can just do that just on a whim, like, but that's what I would have done. And I'd shut Freemasonry down as well. If I ever saw that happen, then I would be up a tree cheering.
Well, I think he's going to make some changes to the media. I mean, he has said that. Like, just about every rally, he was furious at the media and what they were doing and the lies they were telling against him. And he's now been in a position to do something about it.
Yeah. Well, it all stems, you know, from the Iraqi war, you know, because when Bush was invading Iraq, he told the media that if you don't come along and toe the line, then you're not going to get any stories. So consequently, they had to toe the line, and it's followed on from there, where, you know, the government in power, you know, the media just bows to the whim. And that's exactly what's going to happen there, I suppose, if Trump puts his foot down.
Well, it's become part of their psychological warfare, isn't it? Is the media, what they put on the news.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crooked, isn't it, you know?
That played a big role in the Libyan conflict, didn't it? You know, on the news.
Tremendously, yeah, because, I mean, you know, this thing about the no-fly zone, I mean, Putin only allowed that because he said, like, you know, well, fair enough, like, we don't want civilians being massacred. But then when it came to Syria, and the same thing came again to the United Nations, he put his foot down, said, no. No, this last time went beyond just a no-fly zone. This went beyond bombing Gaddafi himself.
Well, Trump's got some very good plans for what to do with Syria. He's talking about making safe spaces there that the refugees can go to, which would be
Is a wise move.
Yeah, you know? paid for by Qatar and Saudi Arabia. But the big good thing about that is we'd be able to deport the ones that we've got in Europe to those safe spaces.
Yeah, well, we could, but I'm not convinced the government can do what we're going to do.
Because, you know, they say, well, we can't deport them because there's nowhere safe for them to go back to, or we can't deport them because the country they're from won't have them. But if you've got safe spaces in Syria, you know, they can be sent straight back there. That, I mean, that's even better than putting them on one of these Greek islands that we were suggesting a while back.
Yeah, send them straight to Syria. That'd be interesting seeing, Norway and Sweden sending Muslims back. That would be interesting.
Well, yeah, I think you're going to see condemnation of Norway and Sweden for their policies towards
us. And rightly so, yeah.
And then you're going to start seeing support for that from other countries. Because don't forget, this is the most powerful country in the world. Nobody can afford to be snubbed by America. They are all going to want to be in America's good books.
Hungary's leader's a big Trump fan.
Yeah, well, he supported him.
He's definitely against this immigration.
Oh, Dirty Duterte, he's come out in support as well of Donald Trump. And he was calling Obama all these names and saying, well, we don't want nothing to do with America. Trump is president-elect, he's saying, yeah, you know, we support you.
It'd be a start just to see that transgender toilet be removed from the White House, because I'm sure he doesn't want it there.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's going to go. I'm sure there'd be a lot going once he gets in there. I don't think he'll want any reminder whatsoever of the people that have been in there before him.
A departure, isn't it? It's just, you know, it's just, I don't know. Communism, well, I mean, Berlin were bad. Well, it still is bad today. But, I mean, you know, I think America were going down that road. You know, when kids are getting told to dress as they please, you know, you're not really a boy, you're not really a girl, you decide. You know, at age of 10, and things are getting ridiculous.
Well, you see Donald Trump's son stood there when he was doing his acceptance speech. You know, somebody that the kids can look up to. You know, someone decent in the White House. I said this earlier in the week, but, you know, you've got the Obama family in there. You know, you've got these twerking female, dope-smoking negresses. And that's what sort of an example is that to set to the young people. And now you've got a family that have been brought up to have manners and to be decent people, someone that kids can look up to.
I actually heard one of his sons talking. I think he's the middle one. I think he really, really talks sense and he talks well. You know,
you can see that they're a good family. It's quite a visual change as well. You think, you know, you've got the black Obamas there. You've got that Michelle, who's a terribly frightening visage that she's got. And now they're being replaced by the beautiful people again. The beautiful people are in charge again.
Michelle Obama actually created more excitement than what Clinton did at the rallies. You know, there's some talk about her running next time, but can't see myself like, but I mean, who knows?
Well, that's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? You know, you can see they're thinking there. Well,
you can see what they're thinking of a black woman president.
Yeah, well, they're just thinking, well, we got double minority privilege there, haven't we? Not only is she female, she's black as well. You know, we might be able to beat them next time if we've got both. You know, both of these privileges.
Obama didn't deliver. He didn't deliver. I don't believe black lives have improved any. I've seen more riots under Obama than in the previous government.
Well, they haven't at all. This is something that a lot of people in Britain that aren't racially aware just didn't get. You know, they all thought that Obama was great. They didn't realise that America was really not happy.
That's the whitest black guy I've ever seen.
Yeah, really not happy with the policies that he put in place, especially that Obamacare and getting rid of all these jobs and the bailout of the banks, so all that sort of thing. People in Britain didn't really notice that. They just saw this, this black dude that they thought was pretty cool. You know, that was the sort of way that the average British people looked at Obama. Didn't realise the damage that he had done. You know, it's only
plus
now.
Obviously, you know, the according to, forgot her name now, the one who died, the Jewess, claimed that he was gay and Michelle Obama was transgender.
Joan Rivers.
Which, you know, I wouldn't doubt for 1 minute because I've seen pictures of her lifting more weights than Obama does in a gym.
She does look male. You know, she has male
features.
She does,
yeah. She's got all them traits. It's sort of about the fingers. If one particular finger is longer than the other, that's a male trait, you know, and it certainly is with her.
Well, it may be something that they were, you know, you're going to release in years to come that, you know, there was a transgender in the White House without anybody knowing it.
Yeah, well, I think he is gay. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, I mean, he walks gay, you know what I mean? Like, he's got a you know, love for the gay community. I'm pretty sure my money would be on him being gay anyway.
Well, he's certainly made a big thing about promoting sodomy all around the world, isn't he?
Well, do you think for 1 second, I'll ask you this question, do you think for 1 second that Donald Trump's going to have them gay lights on the White House, gay colours?
No.
No, neither do I, it's America.
That must have just been, that was so embarrassing for America. The rainbow lights all around the White House. That must have infuriated him. You know, any red-blooded man.
It's Babylon, isn't it?
Infuriated by that. It's disgusting. I just cannot really express enough gratitude, I don't think.
You're on cloud nine till after Christmas, I can see this.
Yeah, well, it felt like Christmas to me. It felt like Christmas Eve on the election night.
Yeah.
It was anticipation. You know, anticipation that, you know, we were going to win the next day. And then when we did win, it's been like Christmas all week. It's been like sort of holidays, sort of doing the radio. You know, I haven't, I really haven't been able to concentrate on much, haven't really done that much. I've just been feeling like it's holidays.
I can imagine it's then, because I know right from the off you were a Trump man, right from the go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought, well, yeah, he does represent a change, and he's saying the right things. And, you know, when people say the right thing, you know, you should support them and congratulate them. When they say the wrong thing, you should condemn them and point out that they're saying the wrong thing. When people do the right thing, you know, they deserve a just reward, don't they?
Well, he didn't talk like a politician. I mean, I could honestly say I understood every single word he said. Now, we're a politician, you know. You know, they come out with these words like that, you know, people don't understand, and it just confuses them and they lose interest, and, you know, the politician then gets away with murder. But Trump actually uttered every word that I could understand. You know.
Well, I think that was one of his talents, wasn't it? It was speaking to the common man, speaking in the common man's language.
Yeah, for sure. He made a connection, and, you know, the others, no matter how hard they try, they couldn't.
That's it. Even though he's got all this money. Well, this is just it. You know, I've worked for people before with lots of money, and some of them have been really decent, down-to-earth people, and others have been snobby, nasty people. That's why I could look at him and think, well, he's like one of these decent ones that I've had, these decent bosses that I had with lots of money, you know, that were good people. You know, I think you can see what people are like. I know there's a screen between us and it's on the television, but you can still get a good idea of it anyway. Anyway, we're nearing the end of the podcast here, Dennis. I don't know if you want to let people know where they can find your work before we finish.
Yeah, well, coming into By the Back Door is complete, and you can watch that on YouTube, Dennis Wise channel, or at the website communismbythebackdoor.tv. Of course, the prelude to that was Elephant and the Greatest Story Never Told.tv is the website, and again, you can catch that on YouTube as well. So there you go. And I hope it has helped people in America decide the future over the last 5 years.
Yeah, indeed. I think the future is very bright for America and for the rest of the world. So I'll just say thank you very much for coming on, Dennis, once again. Hopefully we'll have Messerschmitt back with us next week. The audio is finished on his project, so that's why he's not here tonight. He's working on his new video project for you all. So thank you very much for listening. We'll be back here next week, same time, same place, on Radio Aryan.
To Radio Aryan.